In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Dear Reverend Father, dear faithful, today I would like to speak to you about glory, the heavenly glory that we hope to obtain one day on the day of the last judgment. You know, this is the second Sunday in a row where we've had a gospel of our Lord talking to us about the last judgment. And generally, when we think of the last judgment, we think of a day of wrath. We think of a day of great terror. And it will indeed be a day of incredible terror. You think about the fact that the whole of this earth will be consumed with fire. There will no longer be any Denver. There will no longer be any New York City. There will no longer be any United States of America. The whole of this earth is just going to go up in flames. In smoke on that last day. And so it will be a day of great terror, but at the same time, it will be a day of great joy for the blessed, for those who have been faithful to our Lord in this life, for those elect who will be going to heaven. It's beautiful that our Lord, speaking of the last judgment, he encourages those he's speaking to that when they realize it's the day, it's the last day, that they should lift up their heads and to see him and to welcome him because of the day of their redemption is at hand. That is the day when our Lord will say to the blessed, "Well done, good and faithful servant, because you have been faithful to me, enter into the kingdom that I have prepared for you from the beginning of the world." That is the day on which our Lord will communicate to the blessed, and may we be among their number, eternal glory. And, my dear faithful, we must want this eternal glory. We must want this heavenly glory. It's a very good thing for us to desire to possess one day this heavenly glory. And as much of this heavenly glory as we can possibly earn during this life. But it's not enough for us just to desire it. Of course, we have to do the things necessary such that we will obtain that heavenly glory when the day comes. When you go on an Ignatian retreat, there's a little thought experiment. There's a lot of thought experiments, but one of the thought experiments that St. Ignatius has us do, as it's reflect upon, He has us project ourselves to that day of the last judgment. He has us imagine us facing our Lord and hearing from him our sentence, his determination about our life and our eternity. And he has us ask ourselves the question, what will I think about what I've done during my life on that day? What will I be happy that I have done during my life? What will I regret that I have done when I'm facing our Lord? What will I wish that I had done, but I'd never accomplished during my life? These are really important questions for us to ask, for us to do that meditation where I think about myself facing our Lord on the last day. And one thing there's a couple things that are helpful when we do this reflection, a couple of kind of hard truths, but truths that help put things in perspective. And one of them is the fact that our life here is so short. You think about it, 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, 50 years, we're all going to be gone. It's just going to be a short time, and we are all going to be gone from this earth. However long it is, it's going to be a short time. This life is passing, and it's passing quickly. And this is the time, not tomorrow, in which we work out our salvation, in which we earn heavenly glory. And the other thing for us to realize is that because the things of this earth are going to go up in smoke, everything here below is perishable, the only thing that is going to last are the things that we have done for God, the spiritual goods that we have accumulated during this life, the spiritual treasures that we have accumulated during this life. Those are the things that are really going to matter on that last day. What we want to happen is that when we see our Lord, we will have something to say to him. We will have something to say to him on our behalf of our service of him. We want to be able to say to him things like, well, Lord, during the time that I was living, there was a lot of disrespect for the Blessed Sacrament. And I did not want to disrespect you. So I made a special effort to drive, to get to a place where there was a traditional Latin Mass, where I knew that you would not be disrespected, where I could receive you reverently in Holy Communion. Or to say, Lord, in my time, there was this contraceptive mentality that was everywhere. And even among Catholics, it was a common use of birth control. But I did not do that. I wanted to follow your laws. And so I accepted into this world all the children that you wanted to give me. Or perhaps during my time, there was just a flood of impurity all over the world. There was impurity being thrown into the faces of everyone. And I did my absolute best to refuse all these temptations to impurity, to live my life pure before you, to keep myself pure from that world. These, hopefully, God willing, these are things that you will be able to say to our Lord on that day, to ask of him a reward, and I think a very great reward. But there is something else that we want to be able to tell him on that day, and that is that Lord, during my life, I not only look for the salvation of myself and my family, this was certainly very important for me, but I was also concerned for the salvation of souls. I was also concerned with promoting the interest of your church. And for this reason, I contributed to something bigger than myself. I helped build up and strengthen my parish. And this, my dear faithful, is what our 3-year capital campaign is about. It's an opportunity for the faithful to be part of something bigger than themselves, for the promotion of the salvation of souls, for the promotion of the interest of the Church of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's about God using you as instruments for these eternal goals. Remember how God works in both the natural and the supernatural order. How in the natural order, you know, it's just he chooses to design things, such as a little tiny seed that then becomes this massive tree. That somehow God, he likes to use little resources to make huge effects. And this is exactly what happens in the supernatural order as well. So many times during the history of the church, both New Testament, also even stories of the Old Testament, God uses the least resources to harvest this great accumulation of souls. And this is what is going to happen in our campaign. Something great is going to come from something little, from the efforts of all of us. And obviously, the choice is on the part of each parishioner whether they want to be able to say to our Lord on that day of judgment that, yes, they helped to build up his church. And it will be a very great thing to be able to say. I certainly don't want to face our Lord on that day and have him say to me, oh, Paul Robinson, you're that priest I put in charge of that church in Watkins. And you were there for 6 years. Okay, you were hearing confessions. You were saying Mass. You were preaching sermons and things. But you knew that the mortar ties on the building were residential. They weren't proper for the building itself. You knew that the mortar beds were too narrow to the beds that attached the brick to the building. You knew that there was no flashing behind the brick to keep the water out of the building. You knew that the children were going to school in the church basement in crowded classrooms. And you did nothing. What did you do? to take care of these things. No, I want to be able to say to our Lord, Lord, it took some time, but over time I was able to assess the fact that we needed to address some structural problems with our church, and that we really needed to give to our children a proper environment for their education by building a school building. And so in February of 2023, I presented a master plan to our parish. And at that time, Mrs. Gadosh, she took $25,000 that had been earned over decades from the bookstore and donated it to that cause. But then, as I started to investigate what was necessary to have a capital campaign, I realized that we would have to have at least $100,000 to have a capital campaign. And so I took the $54,000 that came to me after my mother died from her life insurance policy, my portion, and I donated it to that master plan. And then there were some other people who donated here and there in order to get us to the point where we could have a campaign. And at that point, I said to my parish, it's now in your hands. It's up to you to provide these resources necessary for us to be able to repair our church and build a good Catholic school for our children. And my faithful understood. They understood that, well, on the one hand, the government was taking their money to support Planned Parenthood and abortion. Government was taking their money to pay for public education, which often corrupts the children. They understood that there was millions of people who were promoting bad causes and making sacrificial donations for bad causes, to promote abortion, to promote homosexuality, transgenderism, and so on in their day. And that there was plenty of generous people on the side of evil, and that they did not want to appear before you and be asked how it was that the secularists cared more about the education of children than they cared about Catholic education. That they did not want to appear before our Lord and be asked why these people that there were people who were more zealous for an immoral lifestyle than for the lifestyle promoted by the church for the interest of the Catholic Church. And so they participated in the campaign. We were able to get the money. We were able to repair the church. We were able to build the school. This is a story that I would like to tell our Lord on that day. This is what I would like to have be my story. It was what I would like to be our story as a parish on that great day. St. Paul tells us today that it is the time to wake up because our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. Time is passing. The time of our salvation is now. We have to make use of the time that we have right now in order to gain, to merit our heavenly glory. There's that holy Trappist monk, Brother Raphael, and one of the things he said was, I would like to see the world prostrate before the tabernacle, before the cross. We Christians bear a great responsibility if we don't do something for the conversion of the world, and we can all contribute something. Dear faithful, we must have this great zeal for souls, for the promotion of the interests of the salvation of souls. So let us prepare for the glory of that last day by doing something great here at St. Isidore's. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.